From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Authentic and John Velasquez have the lead as they come down to the 16th ball. Tis the Law still trying to get him. Authentic, Tis the Law, here's the buyer. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby.
Gamine in the final furlong, now at the 16th pole. Gamine, John Velasquez, rolling on home to win the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. All Gamine.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Swiss Skydiver digs in at the rail. Authentic on the outside, these two putting on a show. The Derby winner and the Filly. Swiss Skydiver inside, Authentic outside. They're nose to nose, all the way to the wire.
Here's Whitmore striding forward for the lead in the final furlong of the Breeders' Cup Sprint. What a day in the career of this 7-year-old. Whitmore, Errod Ortiz Jr. have won the Breeders' Cup Sprint.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday. Welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Pinch hitting for the next 3 weeks, actually, for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's on a backstretch near you. I'm in New York, in the New York studios. Our producer, Lee Delapina, defending the castle. Sorry, I was watching Game of Thrones replays last night. He's back in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. 5 days till Thanksgiving. Action-packed weekend of racing across the country and north of the border up at Woodbine. Looking forward to all of that stakes action today. Lots of good wagering. And talked a lot about this on race day this week. Still got some big days left in 2020. And what's been as unusual a year as you're going to find in every aspect of life, but on the racetrack as well. And I'm a glass half full, turn lemons into lemonade kind of guy. And I think we should be very fortunate with Thanksgiving right around the corner that we were able to have such great racing in a year where a lot of sports and, like I said, just general aspects of life suffered tremendously. We were able to run a thoroughbred racing card every day in the United States or in Canada throughout the pandemic since mid-March. And I know here personally, we didn't miss a show on the Horse Racing Radio Network, which is something I will champion until I hang them up one of these days, until my headset hangs up. It's something we're all very proud of here, that we were able to share these airwaves with some of our other friends and with you, HRR Nation. Of course, you guys take part on Thursday nights in the call-in show, but just being able to share this with you and to spend this time with you and what's been a really crazy year. Again, looking forward to Thanksgiving and just looking back on what kind of an interesting year it has been. Been a lot to celebrate in this sport as well. We had another good year. And today is a day, and it'll be the theme of this Equine Forum, longevity. It's something we don't see in the sport much anymore. We see a lot of these young horses, 3-4 years old, retired, rushed off to stud, retired to be a broodmare. And it's a part of the game. It's probably the thing, along with the lucrative purse money, that's changed the most. 20, 30, really 30, 40, 50 years ago, these horses hung around more. And I get the business part of it, and I get that the money's in the shed. But, I think the racing fan feels gypped every now and then. But today, we celebrate longevity. And we got a couple of horses running today. Saddler's Joy at the age of 7 at Aqueduct. He spent his entire career down in the States for trainer Tommy Albertrani. And Pink Lloyd up at Woodbine. And he's not only spent his entire career in the States, in Canada, rather. He spent his entire career at Woodbine. He has made every single one of his 31 starts at Woodbine. So, again, Saddler's Joy 7, Pink Floyd, 8 years old. So some longevity on the racetrack. We'll talk to their trainers, Tom Albertrani. We'll talk to Robert Tiller. Not a name you hear much, but I think you'd be surprised by Robert Tiller's resume when we talk to Robert later on in the program. Mark Cassie, a great friend of the network. I think one of our best spokespeople in all of horse racing. He celebrated his 3,000th training win on Thursday with Super Watson down at Gulfstream Park West. Mark never says no to us here on HRRN. And we enjoy sharing these milestones and celebrating these milestones with him. So Mark will be on a little bit later on. And Mark, of course, was to be inducted in the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame this year, but those inductions were postponed until next year. He's still a Hall of Famer in my eyes. Speaking of longevity, John Imbrial, the longtime NYRA employee, just this past year, his first full season in the announcer's booth. We'll talk to John, look back on what his first full year was like. He had been celebrating last year when we had him on his 40th anniversary at the New York Racing Association. He has worked the majority of the past four decades plus for the New York Racing Association. We'll talk to John about that in his first full year in the booth. And then a gear shift, a big domino player now the last couple of years, and we call it a gear shift when you cover your own number. Tyler Gaffalione, the longevity's coming for Tyler Gaffalione. Tyler just riding less than a decade at this point. Tyler had a bit of a breakout year this year in 2020, spending the full season up at Saratoga, some big grade one wins as well. And Tyler Gaffalione going to join us at the top of the second hour. And he's the which of these things are not like the other of the show, because Tyler's still young and a lot of, knock wood, lots of great years in the saddle ahead for Tyler Gaffalione. But we got a fun show for you today. The one thing that our two stalwarts in Saddler's Joy and Pink Lloyd have in common is their running style. And I know one's a synthetic sprinter and the other is a distance turf specialist, but they both like to come from the back of the pack. And I think that is part of their allure. Pink Lloyd's a rock star up in Canada. I don't think you could find a person down here to say a bad word about Saddler's Joy. He's just a hard-knocking horse. Both of these horses, they're kind of blue-collar. They're kind of lunch pail horses. They get their lunch. They go to work every day. They always give their best. Sometimes it works. More so for Pink Lloyd than Saddler's Joy. He's got a lot more wins than Pink Lloyd has a lot more wins than Saddler's Joy does. But they both always show up and always come with that big late run. And that led to the poll question today. You know, when I'm betting my money, I like nothing better than betting on loose speed. But when I am rooting for my favorites, I noticed that most of my favorite horses have been off the pace runners. So the fan in me comes out with the big, late, sweeping, exciting move, you know, hitting that walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth inning is always more attractive than striking out the side in the top of the ninth inning. So, to me. So, I always love these big, late runs. But when I'm betting my money, I want to be on the front end. Us heavy guys, we don't need that much stress. We don't need to be, we don't need heart attack cities from the back of the pack. So that's the poll question today. Would you rather root for a horse that's a speed horse? Or would you rather root for a horse that comes from off the pace? Which is more exciting to you? Which is the horse you prefer to root for? What's more exciting for you? That's the poll question. Head over to at HRRN on Twitter to answer the poll question. Would you rather root for a front runner or would you rather root for a closer? And we'll read some of your responses throughout the program this morning. Again, trainers Tom Albertrani, Mark Cassie, and Robert Tiller is going to join us. Jockey Tyler Gaffalione, our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, and the one and only, my main man, John Imbrial, the racetrack announcer for the New York Racing Association, on a loaded Saturday morning lineup. Filling in for the Baron for the next 3 weeks. Looking forward to spending Saturday mornings with you. Let's take our first break, and when we come back, Tommy Albertrani is going to talk about his old warhorse, Saddler's Joy. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
10 equine and pet care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Now Saddler's Joy is beginning to pick it up on the outside. Saddler's Joy now making his move, still five or six lengths from the lead. It's Red Right Hand, Tis a Slam, as the field comes into the stretch now. Tis a Slam, Red Right Hand. On the far outside is Saddler's Joy coming on. Petit Feel is gaining ground down on the inside. It is Saddler's Joy who's come away with the lead. Then Dot Matrix, late move on the outside from Red Knight. But it is Saddler's Joy with the lead, and Saddler's Joy has won the Red Smith Stakes. A little more than two at the end. Red Knight was second, and Dot Matrix finished third.
John Embry Allen on the call of the Red Smith. About 364 days ago, Saddler's Joy reported home. Pretty easy winner of the Grade 3. They'll run it again this afternoon, and Saddler's Joy will load into the starting gate again this afternoon to defend that crown in the Red Smith at Aqueduct. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Tom Albertrani, his trainer, joins us now. Tom, thanks for some time this morning here on the Equine Forum.
Thank you. Morning, Anthony.
Good morning. What's left to say about the old seven-year-old? 33 starts. Will be going to face a starter for the 34th time today. He's been 1-2-3 in 22 of them with seven wins, including a grade one in the Sword Dancer a few years back up at the Spa. Just one of the coolest horses we've had banging around the Big Apple the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, he's been so consistent over the years. Like, he always shows up. He always puts in a good effort every time he runs. And, I mean, what can you say? Narrowly beaten in so many grade ones. And, you know, he's still going strong, and hopefully we could see another win today.
Yeah, you know, you've been around dating back to your days as an assistant for Hall of Famer Bill Mott, right? We were talking about this yesterday in the press office at Aqueduct. Ryan Martin and I, who does a great job in the press office, you know, cigars 25 years ago. The streak started 26 years ago with the Cigar Mile right around the corner. And back then, the Cigar Mile would already be in the books, the then Naira Mile. This horse, he does everything kind of like a good horse, doesn't he? Right? You've told me this in the past. Like, in the barn, just from the time he wakes up to the time he goes to the track to face the starter, he just does everything like an old class horse.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of them good horses to have around the barn. He, you know, seems like he enjoys what he does. He's nearly going to be 8 years old soon, and you would never tell he's been a day over four the way he acts, and still going strong.
We were talking this morning before we got you on the air about longevity. We're talking about Saddler's Joy with you. Later on, we're going to talk about a horse, Pink Lloyd, up at Woodbine, who's going to be making his 32nd start as an 8-year-old gelding. What is it about him that has enabled you to keep him around so long? Tommy, did we lose you?
Yeah, I didn't hear you, Anthony.
Sorry about that. I said, what is it about this horse that you've been able to keep him at such a high level for so long?
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty easy on their works, I think, that maybe keeps them around a long time. We've had several other horses that stayed in the barn until they're 8, 9 years old, including Twilight Eclipse. So, I think a lot of try to preserve them as much as I can, just try to put them through some easy works and moderate gallops every day, and it seems to work, and I love to see them around for a while.
Fairly similar schedule to last year for Saddler's Joy. You actually added a handful of races on this year. Earlier in the year, last year he came back in the Bowling Green and then ran in the Bowling Green Sword Dancer Turf Classic and then the Red Smith. The same schedule this year, but you had a longer season with him this year. And a tough DQ in that Bowling Green early this year. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was probably one of the biggest disappointments we had. And, the old horse, he's always right there. He's been beaten in two photos in the Manhattan 2 years in a row. And, when he finally does get up, you see his number come down. And it's just disappointing that it had happened, especially that day. He looked like he was much the best. But, that's racing. And there was some bumping going on, and I guess you can make a case where he came over enough where he should have been disqualified. But he ran his race, and hopefully we came rebounded back. And I think the other disappointment was when we had all that rain day of the Sword Dancer at Saratoga, where we knew he doesn't really prefer the soft going. But I was just on a gut. My feeling was just trying to see if he could produced that same race he did at Churchill Downs when it was a bog that day when he was there in the Breeders' Cup. So it just didn't work out for us that day. But, he's doing well right now. He came back strong. He runs good fresh. So, really looking forward to later on.
Historically, and we've read this in press quotes and in team quotes and stories about Saddler's Joy, he can be a little interesting, let's say. I can't bring myself to say a bad word about him. So to say difficult would be, I feel like I'd be smirching him. He'd be a little different to ride. Interesting to ride. Javier Castellano was regular rider. Had some, cleaned up a leg issue earlier this week. Javier came out of surgery great. He's supposed to be back middle of January. So you have to go to a new rider. And Joel Rosario is going to pick up the mount. Seemingly, Joel Rosario would be a perfect fit for Saddler's Joy, a horse that comes with this one big sweeping run, 34 starts. You're getting one of the best riders in the country. What do you say to Joel when you go into the paddock? Is there anything you could say to him to tell him about this horse who can be a little quirky?
Well, I'm sure Joel did some homework, probably watched some race, and I'm sure he's been in races with him, so he probably has a good know of how the horse's style of running is. And I'll tell him a little bit about the horse, of course, but I think the whole thing comes down to if he could, with this horse, he is a little tricky because, he stays so far back, and you always need that racing luck to either, you got to find an opening to get through, save some ground, or you're going to have to go wide and lose all the ground, and hopefully he's got enough horse to get there. But I think Joel would be a good fit for the horse, and, hopefully we just get a good clean trip with him, and he, comes and runs his usual race. I think he'll be right there.
Talking with trainer Tom Albertrani. He's got Saddler's Joy, the 8-5 morning line favorite in the Grade 3 Red Smith today over at Aqueduct. Homebred for Woods Lane Farm. The mare, Dinaire, has been she's been pretty solid. You've had most of the family, and I don't know. I think a lot of people got were confused last week when they saw Sadler's Joy's little brother, Wolfie's Dyna Ghost, going 7/8 on the dirt. And the confusion kind of cleared when he paid almost $70 with a real handy score. Talk to me a little bit about him.
He looks like a really talented horse. We like him going into the race. You know, I was a little, maybe a little concerned about the pedigree and running him on the dirt, but he was working really well over it. And for me, I just said, let's give him a chance first time over it and see what we got. If he doesn't run well or if he doesn't like it, then naturally we put him on the grass. But he was working really well on the dirt, and he's a different horse than his brother. He's got a little bit more fluent action, I thought, to handle it. And the way he ran the other day, he sure showed it. So he's going to be, I think, a real exciting horse to see in the future.
So, fun horse to have. But I'm sure he's got to be a little bit of a conundrum now, right? He's run so well first time on the dirt. He's a two-year-old. Obviously, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I would assume he stays on dirt until you feel like you need to move him on the turf. Is that fair to say?
Well, he'll stay on the dirt as long as he keeps running well over it, which I believe he will, just from what I'm seeing. And, I mean, I think he's a horse that's going to run all day. My plan would probably be to ship him to Florida, hopefully come back and run him in maybe a mile race or so, a two-turn race, and see how he handles that. And if he's as good as we think he is and hope he is, hopefully we'll be targeting some big races in the later on in early next year.
Wow, Tommy Albertrani, maybe a little November 21st case of Derby fever, talking about Sadler's Joy's little brother, Wolfie's Dyna Ghost. And he was, listen, that was a race, that was a maiden special weight race that a lot of people like their horses. And a couple of those horses had already run good races. And to me, it looked like a very good maiden special weight race. And I think people, you know, I get to defend Sadler's Joy and Aqueduct at the same time. I don't think people realize how many good horses have come out of those Aqueduct maiden races in the fall. Andy Serling has the number. It's in the double digits of the amount of grade one winners that have come out of those maiden special weight races. So you might be onto something there, my friend.
Well, we sure hope so. I mean, I knew it was a tough race going into it because at the last minute, I was trying to look for a rider, and I think almost every jock's agent I spoke to all said, well, I got a live one in here. So I said, we might be up against it first time out, but I still had enough confidence that our horse was going to run well.
Yeah, that was a big tip race. From the dirt and the longevity on the turf, you mentioned Twilight Eclipse earlier, right? He kind of passed the baton to Sadler's Joy. You have a couple of turf sprinters in the barn. Duress won the allowance race, a fantastic claim by you last year. But let's talk a little bit about Fire for my man Rob Masiello. Big purchase price over at the Wanamaker, the online sale. Rob spent a lot, and he's paying quick dividends. Talk a little bit about him, and he looks like a horse that has a real bright future.
I think this is a really nice horse. I mean, I loved him from the first day I got him. He's just an impressive horse to look at, and watching him train, he really got my attention. I told Rob, I said, you know, I think we've got a real serious horse here. He does everything very easy. I think he could, you know, certainly rise to the top as we get into a four-year-old campaign with him, but right now we're on track with him to run in the Claim and Crown at Gulfstream Park on December 5th, and from there, we'll see how everything works out and go from there.
I know the plan for him, at least Rob told me, breaking bread over Capellini cakes at King Umberto's a month and a half ago. Rob really wants to win the Jiper with him, and that's a pretty lofty goal. But this horse certainly looks the part so far.
Absolutely. I think he'll just get better with age, too. I mean, just from what I'm seeing, he's a real solid horse. It will be great to win those type of races with him next year. And, you know, we'll hope for the best, and we'll see what happens.
And brag on yourself a little bit here. You don't claim a lot of horses. I mean, I can probably count on one hand the amount of times I can remember you dropping in for a horse, and the rest has turned out to be a real good one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of claiming owners in my barn, which I wish I had more. We've done pretty well off of some of the claims. Duress was a nice claim. There was just something about him I liked when I saw his first race, and thinking, you know, I think this horse might be a little better. We just cut him back in distance a little bit, and certainly paid off.
I've been waiting till the end of the interview to ask you this question. Back to Saddler's Joy for a minute. 7 years old today. Seven-year-old, 34th start today. Do you start to think about wrapping it up with him?
With the rest, yeah. I think here we'll probably send him down to Florida, give him a brief.
No, with Saddler's Joy, Tommy. With Saddler's Joy.
Sorry?
With Saddler's Joy. You start thinking about 7 years old, 34th start. You start thinking about wrapping it up with him?
We've been trying to find a spot where he maybe could be a stallion. We're still working on that. We'll see how he runs today. And I think there'll be some decisions made. But we have been talking about maybe retirement for the old boy maybe after this. But, you know, we'll just see and what happens after today and make some decisions probably where he's going.
All right, great. Well, best of luck with him today. The barn looks loaded as you head down to – when are you heading out?
Probably we still got some races to be run in the next week or so. So we'll probably wrap things up before the end of the month and start sending a few down south.
All right, great. Well, best of luck with the old boy today with Saddler's Joy and Faya, Wolfie's Dino Ghost, and the entire barn locked and loaded for a trip down to Florida. Thanks for some time this morning, Tommy. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, Anthony. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Tom Albertrani joins us. Good old Saddler's Joy. I didn't want to ask that question at the end. I don't think I'm ready for Saddler's Joy to leave the racetrack. And Tommy has done such an amazing job. When you think about Twilight Eclipse and Saddler's Joy, Twilight ran till he was 9, Saddler's Joy 7, somewhere around 6 million combined with the two of them doing something. It's tough to keep them around going that mile and 3/8, mile and a half, and have such success with them. You know, this horse has been in the trifecta. 33 starts going into today, and he is your 8-5 morning line favorite to defend his Red Smith crown. Certainly a legend around here. The old boy Saddler's Joy looks to win one more this afternoon in the Red Smith. Speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
This is the story of a thoroughbred who, without any reservation whatsoever, by name alone, conjures up images of greatness. The greatness and adulation of the American public that is reserved in the very front row of the heroes of sport, that horse was Seabiscuit. There are horses and there are horses, as the saying goes, and although all great horses are fast, not all fast horses are great. This horse is of very special significance because he was indeed one of a mere handful of the past 100 years who, through public adulation, became a true hero in the very ilk of the word itself. His story could well be the prototype of a Horatio Alger story, the consummate personification of the great American dream. In singular microcosm, he was what American racing is indeed all about. Seabiscuit was bred by the Wheatley Stable, foaled in 1933 at Claiborne Stud of Arthur B. Hancock. He was the son of Hardtack, out of Swing-On by Whisbroom II. As a yearling, he was shipped to Hialeah, along with several other yearlings, by the redoubtable Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons. On January 19, 1935, he went to the post as a two-year-old for the first time in a claiming event, in which he finished a nondescript fourth while earning $50. 3 days later, he ran on another claimer over a distance of 3 furlongs and finished second, beaten 2 lengths by a horse called Clapping Jane. Either Clapping Jane or Seabiscuit could have been claimed from that field for $2,500. Clapping Jane never won again and wound up in Puerto Rico as a broodmare. It took 18 races for Seabiscuit to find a field of horses he could finally beat. That race was at Narragansett Park in Rhode Island for a purse of $750 on June 22, 1935. He then won the Watch Hill Claiming Stakes, named for the posh Rhode Island resort, for which he banked $2,800. He won four claiming races and was nearly claimed by Hirsch Jacobs in the process, but Jacobs felt he had highly suspicious knees. If only he knew what he had passed up at the time. Seabiscuit was sold in August of 1936 as a three-year-old to Mr. Charles S. Howard for $7,500, and an association was born with that is legendary. The purchase was made on the advice of Silent Tom Smith, who, while looking over Seabiscuit, remarked there was, quote, a look of the eagles, unquote, in him. It took Seabiscuit until the Brooklyn Handicap at the age of four to exhibit his championship mettle. From that race on, he was sensational. There were three occasions subsequently wherein he was defeated through the efforts of a jockey named Nick Wall. Wall got his mount through a hole left on the rail by the Biscuits rider Red Pollard to win by a whisker in the Bowie Handicap at Pimlico in 1937. In the 1938 Santa Anita Handicap, Seabiscuit, carrying 130 pounds, had too much taken out of him by rider Georgie the Iceman Wolf, and Wall brought Stagehand from off the pace for a win. And in 1939, when Wall piloted Today to another win over the Biscuit. Seabiscuit finally realized C.S. Howard's fondest dream by winning a Santa Anita Handicap on his third try in 1940, when Red Pollard again had the mount. That was a well-chronicled, well-remembered race in which two superb athletes, both in the twilight of careers, both horse and rider, went out in a blaze of glory before an adoring public. It was the way the script should end, the stuff of a Frank Capra film. Seabiscuit was a failure at stud, but he'd retired from the racing wars as the world's leading money-winning thoroughbred. From an initial purse of $50 in 1935 and a meteoric rise to success, he was the very fiber of the lore, legend, and mystique of thoroughbred racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington, and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince is value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
In response to Maryland's COVID-19 health and safety protocols, as of Friday, November 20th, the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park will be temporarily closed to the public. The Laurel Park Fall Meet will continue with live racing Thursday through Sunday with a post time of 12:25 p.m. with the exception of Thursday, November 26th. Thanksgiving Day has a special post time of 11:25 a.m. The Fall Festival of Racing will take place Saturday, November 28th, and feature six stakes with $600,000 in purses. You can watch the action live at laurelpark.com and wager from anywhere with the First Bet app.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
On the outside, Super Watson continues to attack the leader from second. Gunman is poised to strike. Three wide on the outside from third. Snowjob is right there in fourth position. And looking for a rally is Super Energizer. And way out wide, Seven Channels. They straighten away for home, and they fan six across the racetrack. And now it's Super Watson who takes a short lead. Super Energizer on the outside. The stable mates are 1-2 at this point as they come down toward the wire. Super Watson and Miguel Vasquez to deliver a huge milestone for trainer Mark Cassie. Super Watson has done it. Super Energizer was second, Seven Channels Home third, then Snow Job and Gunman 3000 for trainer Mark Cassie.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. The Big A filling in for the Baron. Thanks for joining us on this sensational Saturday morning. Speaking of sensational, our next guest did something only 34 trainers have done in thoroughbred racing. Let's get win number 3,000. It happened this past Thursday down at Gulfstream Park West at Super Watson. Mark Cassie, nice enough to join us now, one of the newest Hall of Famers. Mark, congratulations. Thanks for some time this morning.
Oh, thank you very much, Anthony, and appreciate you having me on.
What a thrill, huh? In such an unusual year, at least there's something to have a big old smile about.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year. You know, first the Hall of Fame. Haven't been inducted yet, which will come next year, and that's fine. And then 3,000. So there's been a lot of couple things. One, I realize how old I'm getting, and two, lots of reflecting back. A lot of memories of my father, you know, and just, you know, all the people that helped us. When you win 3,000 races, there's a lot of good people behind you. You don't do it on your own, that's for sure.
Talk about your dad. And, you know, this is the question I kind of have to ask. You start out working in the game as a kid. I mean, I'm sure you don't think about, you know, winning 1,000 races, let alone 3,000 races, right?
No, never. I did tell my dad, and of course, when I was about 12, we used to go to Saratoga since I was about, I don't know, 10, 12. And I did tell him at one point we were walking through the Hall of Fame, he would take me there all the time. And I said, Dad, someday I'm going to be in here. And, you know, as any good father would do, say, oh, okay, yeah, you will be, you know. But definitely wouldn't be there without him. And so he passed away about, I think, almost a little over 3 years ago. So at least he was here. Unfortunately, he's not here to see the Hall of Fame, even though I hope he's up there looking down. And
I'm sure he's seen everything the last three years.
He was able to watch the Breeders' Cup, couple of Breeders' Cup wins, which was nice.
Yeah, you know, the last couple of years, COVID aside, they've been real exciting over there. A couple of wins in the American Classics with War of Will and, of course, Sir Winston and the Preakness and Belmont, respectively, last year. And, you know, a barn like yours, let's talk about the COVID-19 for a minute, because you have horses stabled in Florida, Kentucky, New York, and Woodbine. It's hard to say year-round because Woodbine closes, obviously, but whenever there is racing in those four places, you have horses there. So what has this been like for you? You know, yeah, you have a lot to celebrate, and it's nice to win the big races, but you have operations to run, and now you're kind of handcuffed as to your travel. A great team, of course, but that has to be frustrating for somebody like you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely been challenging, but also, you know, I try to look at the bright side of everything. At least we're fortunate enough to still be able to have our sport. We're, you know, there's so many people that have struggled. I mean, I just feel terrible for the restaurant owners. And you know, what about all these parents that, you know, their kids can't go to school, and I worry about, you know, their education going forward. So, yeah, it's been difficult, but and we just got, you know, we got a monkey wrench thrown at us yesterday. We're supposed to run till the middle of December at Woodbine, and it looks like, unless something changes, Sunday will be the last day. Toronto's come up with some new lockdown rules and this and that, which looks like they're going to shut down horse racing unless, like I said, something happens. So, yeah, you know, you start there's never a day really where you don't have to answer questions and do things. You know, you have days where you may not have a horse running, but those are busy in themselves. So, and then, you know, for us, a typical weekend may be running 15, 20 horses on a Saturday or Sunday, which means if you win 25% of them, you still have 75% of losers, which you know, you have to deal with that as well. So, you know, I love the game. I love the action. We've been very fortunate. And as to answer your question about the COVID, it's been difficult, but luckily, you know, like our team at, in Toronto, David Adams has been with me 25 years. We have grooms that have been with me from the beginning and exercise riders. Our operation in Ocala, I have Mitch Downs. He's been with me 40 years. So
wow.
We have a,
wow,
you know,
40
pretty
years.
Solid team. And yeah, so, yeah. I can tell you one thing. My frequent flyer miles have come to a stop, though. I haven't been on a plane since February, even when my wife and I drive now if we go somewhere.
Wow. And these are things, you know, these are things someone outside of the game could never, I'm sure, couldn't be able to fathom. For somebody like, again, you know, operations in four different places on top of the farm in Ocala. What price can you get on that on January 1st? $1,001 that you're not going to be on an airplane for 7 months, 9 months?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to sit and think all of us would be wearing masks and but the good news is technology has came so far that, you know, there's a lot of things. I probably will watch in the neighborhood of 15 or 20 videos a day. Either it's horses breezing or horses jogging and, you know, looking at them. I've gotten so good at looking at videos. I mean, things have changed so much. Who would have thought? I mean, we're buying horses now from videos. We're buying horses online. I mean, bidding online. I bought 4 or 5 horses this year on the computer. And so,
imagine that.
You know, things change. And Lee Iacocca said, stand still, you get run over. So I do everything on computer spreadsheets. You know, I still oversee every horse, what every horse is doing every day, and who's entered, who gets looked at, who the vets look at, whatever. It's a pretty long process. I love it, and I think probably early. I think in February I had COVID because I was so sick. I do the training schedule every day. I've probably in the last 20 years have not done it maybe 2 or 3 times. And I was
the training
sick
chart.
In
you haven't done it for the whole stable
for like 4
wow.
days. Somebody asked my wife, how sick is Mark? She goes, he hasn't done his training chart in 4 days. That tells you how sick he is.
Yeah. As the son of a trainer, you know, that's you know, that's getting done. If anything's getting done that day, the chart's getting done. Wow.
Yeah.
And you do it
of
for
course,
so
you know,
that's got to be the biggest spreadsheet in the world.
I'm a bit of a control freak in a way. You know, I not so much control. I have wonderful people, but I want to know what's going on. And if there's a problem, I want to be able to try to help fix it because that's what, you know, I have 40 years of knowledge. So sometimes you go back in that, your past, and that's what you pull it out. You know, there's been a lot of, there's a lot of curves in the road. So you learn how to get around them.
What was it like to win 3,000 for Live Oak for Mrs. Weber?
Well, it was special for a couple of reasons. One, Mrs. Weber. You know, she has been an icon in racing since I was a little boy. And a little more, even more special for me in that, you know, I've been an Ocala boy for over 50 years. And Live Oak's been in Ocala and been a farm for over 50 years. So I've known of her since I was a little boy. And then she was extremely close to my father. My father loved her, and they were very close. And I think that is probably one of the reasons why I didn't train for her sooner. I believe she was concerned that if something didn't go right and the relationship didn't work, that, you know, maybe it would be hard on their relationship. But I guess now I've been training for him for about 7 or 8 years, because I was training for him for a few years before my dad passed away, and he was very proud of that. So, yeah, to win $3,000 for her, I was with my son Colby. He's 17. We watched the race together, and, you know, I'll always remember that. So the crazy thing is, so $1,000, so what happened, a lot of people don't realize, but for a period of about 7 or 8 years, I only trained maybe 2 or 3 horses a year because I was the general manager for Mockingbird Farm here in Angurian. That would have been in the 80s. So then we started cranking things up again, and I don't know, $1,000, we won $1,000. When we won $1,000, I said, well, it took a while, and I said, well, we'll never win $2,000. And then I think $2,000 came maybe 5 years later or something like that, or 6 years later. And then I said, well, I'll never win $3,000. And then I believe that came about 5 years later. So I don't know, Emily, if I have $4,000 in me. You know, it. Maybe. We'll see.
Well, the theme this morning is longevity. We got you to 3,000. We were talking to Tommy Albertrani about Sadler's Joy. We're going to talk to Robert Tiller about Pink Lloyd later. Now, you've had horses at Woodbine forever. How cool is that story? I mean, he's such a rock star up there. Never left the place. Looking for win number 27 today.
Yeah, and we're going to try to beat him. Well, we've had a pretty good horse in against him, but he's what a horse he is. He's a horse that just gets it done. Just gets it done. I have a really good horse against him today, a horse called Ride a Comet, that may be a little short for him, but he was. People ask me what was the. I recently was asked what was my favorite victory of 2000 so far, 2020 at Woodbine. It would have been Ride a Comet. He came off a over 2 year layoff. He had won the Del Mar Derby in his last start, and he came back and he won his first start in, like, I think it was 26 months. He's cutting back a little, but we'll see. We're going to try to beat him. You have mixed emotions on something like that. You always like to win, but you feel bad if you take down a champ as well. So, yeah, and then talking about Tommy Albertrani learned to ride on our farm, on our training center. And I don't know if you know that. And Tommy was my assistant for a short period of time. And so I know Tommy well. Tommy's a good man.
Yeah, Tommy's great. You guys, I tell you, when I first started doing the radio here, and I'm working on my sixth year, you and I didn't know each other. And one of the best things I've taken from my time here is a relationship with you. And no offense to everybody else, when Mark Cassie's name is on the format and Lee goes to make the phone call, I never worry that the phone is going to be picked up. And that is a very, very important thing with something I do. Mark, congratulations. Here's to the next 1,000. We're going to keep you around for another 1,000. And here's to the next 1,000.
We'll
Thanks
see.
For some time this morning.
It's funny because my main guy, Mitch Downs, who was telling he's been with me 40 years, we won a race yesterday, and he texts me, only 999 more to go. So we'll see.
Yeah, a lot of action.
All right.
Across the country this weekend, a lot of them up at Woodbine. Mark, thanks. Enjoy.
Have
Celebrate here
day.
To the next 1,000.
Thanks. Good to talk to you.
You too. You too, as always. Mark Cassie, Hall of Famer, just got win number 3,000, apparently 3,001 yesterday. Loaded up this weekend up at Woodbine especially. Got a lot of nice horses in. Going to try and take down the champ Pink Lloyd later on today in that Kennedy Road. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, America's most dominant sire with over 80 greatest stakes winners and more lifetime Grade 1 winners than any sire in the nation. Recent stars include multiple stakes winner and Grade 1 victress, Valiance.
Valiance with the lead. Ollie's Candy trying. Valiance prevails by 3/4 of a length in the Judd Mott Spinster.
And 2-year-old sensation, Essential Quality, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Final furlong of the Juvenile. Essential Quality coming forward for the lead. Late run from Keep Me In Mind. Hot Rod Charlie to the inside. Essential Quality and Luis Saez have won the TVG Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
In the sales ring, his yearlings topped both opening sessions of Keeneland September, including the $2 million sale topper. A breed shaper, a dream maker. Tap it, standing at Gainsway.
A message to help keep you safe. If doctors told us today that we'd made a breakthrough on COVID-19, saving thousands of lives, we would rejoice. Finally, a good news day. We'd feel less afraid that our loved ones would be struck by the invisible enemy. We'd start to feel hope that we could live our lives again. Well, a mask does all that. We can help protect others by covering our noses and mouths, which is how the virus mainly spreads. Masks are a ticket to freedom, to be out in the world, to getting together, back to work, back to doing what we want. If doctors announced we could save lives today, we would grab that breakthrough with both hands. While we wait for a vaccine, grab the breakthrough that's already here. When we're out, it's masks on.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The field is at the top of the stretch. Here is Paris Lights on the outside to take the lead over Crystal Ball. Crystal Ball continues to battle on down towards the rail. On the outside, it's Paris Lights. Antoinette is in third, and now they're inside the eighth pole. And it is Crystal Ball at Paris Lights. And we've got a thrilling stretch duel in the Coaching Club American Oaks. The two fillies come down for the finish, and it's going to be Paris Lights, I believe. Paris Lights and Crystal Ball in a terrific stretch duel. The mile and a furlong in 1:50 4/5 seconds.
The Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks went to Paris Lights. Tyler Gaffalione, Grade 1 win at Saratoga. Part of a breakout year for the young rider. We'll talk to Tyler in about 10 minutes here on the Equine Forum. Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. Time for the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Filling in for the Baron the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk some charities as we get close to Christmas time and the holiday season. One that's near and dear to my heart is the Belmont Child Care Association, and nice enough to join us now. They are. The BCCA is the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, and nice enough to join us now is their president, Libby Imperio. Hey, Libby, thanks for some time this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course. You guys do an amazing job. And, you know, again, talking about longevity this morning, almost 20 years now for the Belmont Child Care Association.
Yes, and we're rapidly expanding into new horizons. So it's as difficult as 2020 has been. We have some great things on the horizon that we're very pleased about, and we're looking forward to the future.
To the future, let's start in the future, and then we'll back up a little bit. Looking like we're going to have our Saratoga house open for the 2021 meet.
Yes, most definitely. We plan to open in at some point in June 2021. We will be located on the Oklahoma side of the Saratoga racetrack. The building has been donated by Michael and Lee Dove and their family. I've had the privilege of being there multiple times during construction. It's absolutely gorgeous, and we'll be able to bring our special blend of learning and creativity to all the more families in Saratoga that come just not from the New York area, but Kentucky, Florida, Maryland, California during the racing season in Saratoga. So we're really excited.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Also looking forward to the future to just get back to Saratoga next year, hopefully under more usual circumstances. Talk about what that's been like, the COVID-19 over at the BCCA, and some things the folks can do out there to reach out and donate and get involved during this holiday season.
Well, I'm pleased to say that we hit onto what was needed right away when COVID started encroaching into the New York area. We knew it was coming. We had a feeling lockdowns were happening or were about to happen, and we just prepared really quickly. We started a family fund that collected diapers, baby formula, anything that our families needed immediately, and were able to deliver those to the families immediately in need, so no one was left without care. But once the center reopened in July, we were able to create a new virtual learning program. This was predominantly for our school-age kids who normally graduate and go into kindergarten and the elementary schools, public schools locally. With that, they normally come in the morning before they go to school, and with now the COVID restrictions, they now stay at Anna House, and we were able to create two new learning pods for the school-age students that have their public school classes remotely beamed in on their tablets that were donated from some great grantors and wonderful donors for us. So we have 20 full-time children, and they're up to New York State protocols, and, you know, they're doing great, and we have a teacher there for them for anything that they need in the classroom. So they're staying up to par, if not even more so than most of the public school's kids, and I'm really pleased by that. We were able to go back to our women's literacy program via Zoom. This is a program we started with the New York State Women's Foundation. They've been so generous to us, and we have about 30 mothers in that program learning English as a second language, and it's been incredible. And we've increased it to cooking programs with them and parenting programs as well, so that's been excellent. But as any foundation, we're always in need of donations. We recently have had a long-time grantor, the Angela and Scott Jagger Foundation. They've donated to us for, I'm going to say, about 6 years. And this year, and with their grant, we've normally been able to establish a music program from them. And it's been great for the kids. We normally bring in different musicians that teach them different instruments and types of music. So that's been great. They just gave us a new matching grant for up to $7,500. And the key to the grant is new donors or lapsed donors. So if you've never donated to us before or you've donated in the past, this is a great way to reestablish a relationship with us or create a new relationship to us. That the Jagger Foundation really helps with all types of enrichment programs that children really need, and especially really need right now in COVID. It's something that all kids are lapsing, but we're really proud to be able to continue with these programs.
All right, and you can head over to BelmontChildCare.org to take part in that year-end appeal and matching grant program. And thanks to Angela and Scott Jagger. There's the holiday shopping that's coming out.
One of my most favorite days of the year. I think it'll be great as well this year, but normally we take the Belmont Cafe and turn it into a department store, basically. And everything is via donation, and the families come in and they shop for a gift for themselves plus one for every single person in their family. And every year I just notice that the kids, they always go to get something for their parents first. And it's just the most heartwarming day of my year. We basically provide Christmas for over 500 families. And if you think about it, that's about on an average of four per family, a little over 1,500 gifts that we provide. And this year we're still doing it, but instead of the kids coming in and picking out the gifts, we've already received the list, and with a whole host of volunteers, we're going to put each family's gifts together and have them do a drive-by to collect the gifts, and Santa will be there waving at all the families. But it's a great way to start the season, holiday season, and give a little Christmas to those that are really, really in need. We are always looking for volunteers for that as well.
All right. Well, you can go to BelmontChildCare.org to make a donation. Libby, thanks for some time this morning. Thanks for all you do, and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. You too, Lib. Our industry star of the week, the Belmont Child Care Association. You could donate over at BelmontChildCare.org. We'll have Michael Blowen on next week from Old Friends to talk about that great organization as well. Right now, we have to pause 10 seconds for station identification. Hour one in the books. Hour two comes up next. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Improbable, then global campaign, Tacitus, 'tis the law, all behind Authentic, who strides away in the Keeneland sunset for John Velasquez. Authentic has won the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic.
'Tis the Law's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, 'Tis the Law, and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Tarnawa is running fast down the center of the course. Tarnawa past Magical has caught Channel Maker. Tarnawa moves on by Tarnawa and Colin Keane to win the Longines Turf. Order of Australia looking for a huge upset here. Order of Australia gets that upset at 73-1. For Pierre Charles Boudot, who's having quite a Breeders' Cup.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Hour number two of the Equine Forum coming your way. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. I'm in our New York studios. Lee DeLapina back in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. Thanks to Tom Albertroni, Mark Cassie, and Libby Imperio for a fantastic first half of the show. Like all of our guests, they'll be receiving apparel from EmbraceTheRace.com. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. We kick off hour number two with the hottest rider. I think I could say that. I think I could say he's the hottest rider on the planet right now. He's already has 10 wins this week at Churchill Downs. I think it's for six different trainers. He's put himself right back on top of those Churchill Downs rider standings, a place he's been very familiar with. Those Kentucky jockey titles are piling up for Tyler Gaffalione. Tyler, it's Anthony Stabile here. Thanks for some time on the Equine Forum.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for having me on.
Boy, what a year, huh? You know, last year you got the win in the Triple Crown Series with War of Will and the Preakness, of course. We talked to Mark Cassie earlier today. But I kind of feel, and a lot of people kind of feel the same way, that this 2020 has really been your breakout year in thoroughbred racing.
I've just been so blessed. You know, a lot of credit goes to my agent, of course, Matt Musicary. He took such an incredible job from the get-go. Basically mapped out a plan for us, and he's executed it perfectly. Just put me in good spots. Always trying to maintain my confidence and always trying to improve and build more towards the future. But like you said, 2020 has been such an amazing year, especially with everything going on. We've just been so blessed and so fortunate.
Yeah, what's it been like? You know, we talk to everybody in the business, and you know, more often than not, and it's funny, the theme of this morning's longevity. What are you, 25?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so your longevity is you've got a long way to go, my man. But what's it been like, you know, as one of the younger people in this industry? What has this year been like for you? The old guard, I guess, would have to adapt a little bit more, but what's it been like for you?
As it is for everybody, it's strange. This is all unknown. Just kind of adapting as we go. It's weird. We haven't personally been affected as much as others, I would say. And I'm, like I said, very blessed for that. But it's kind of been going with the flow, basically. I mean, it really hasn't interrupted us as far as like everyday living, but maybe travels. This year we stayed mainly in Kentucky and Saratoga instead of, like, normally we travel all over the country throughout the year to ride different stakes, but we're more isolated this year.
You went from a full-time Florida rider to kind of leaving the nest a little bit and trying Kentucky out. And then made the big move this year to ride Saratoga. Talk about what it was like to leave Florida and then make that move. And you finished seventh in the standings at Saratoga, 22 wins, a fantastic win percentage. We heard you win aboard Paris Lights in the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks. I mean, just an unbelievable summer up at Saratoga. But what has it been like going from making those leaps from Florida to Kentucky and then Kentucky to Saratoga?
It's been so much fun. I'm really, really enjoying the ride, you know. This is all I've ever wanted to do, just to ride in these circuits and be able to compete against these guys. It's nothing short of a dream come true. But it was tough leaving Florida, you know. I was born there. It's my home track. I grew up at Gulfstream and Calder, watching my father and watching some of my idols growing up. But it was a little intimidating, especially getting out of my comfort zone, going to a place like Kentucky where they're very clicky, they're very loyal to their people, and it was tough to break in at first. But I had great support from Mike Maker. He made the transition a lot easier for me, and Mark Cassie stepped up and really helped us out. And from there, we were just able to kind of get things going. And my agent, I can't say enough good things about him. He's the best.
You have a moment this year where you kind of feel like, wow, this is, you know, like all of your dreams as a kid, looking up to these. I mean, I'm sure some of the guys you look up to are guys you share a locker room with now. Was there a particular moment this year where you said to yourself, you know what, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere? Did you have one of those moments this year?
Not necessarily, not yet, but I would say the closest thing would be the Alabama this year. That was my second grade one at Saratoga, and I got both of them in the same season. But there's nothing like winning there. You grow up watching those races. You watch all the great horses that won it, the trainers, owners, jockeys. Those are the races you want to be able to compete in and especially win. And be able to get those this summer, that was something special for me.
Yeah, what was that like? Like you turn for home in the Coaching Club American Oaks. You're riding a horse for a Hall of Famer in Belmont. You look to your left. It's Bob Baffert, trainee, with Javier Castellano in the saddle. Like, I know obviously you have a job at hand, but when you hit the wire and you realize you win the race, do you just say to yourself, how is this happening?
Oh, yeah. And sometimes it doesn't feel real. You pull up and you kind of take a moment to gather yourself and reflect on everything. And it doesn't feel real at first, but, yeah, they come over, they interview, and, I mean, it's hard to put into words. It's truly an amazing moment.
You are a little bit of a streaky guy. Luckily for you, your streaks last a very long time. But right now, since the Breeders' Cup, I would say, even going into the Breeders' Cup, but since the Breeders' Cup, you look like you are just locked and loaded. You won with a couple of maidens this week at Churchill Downs. And the one you went with yesterday, I can't remember, I don't have it up, come up along. You went four yesterday at Churchill?
Yes, sir.
The three horse to come up the inside came in 3-8.
I think it was the seventh Brett race. Calhoun.
Brett Calhoun's, yeah, the second time maiden.
Yes, sir.
You literally were picking her up the last eighth or 16th of a mile. You're just so locked and loaded. Did something does going to an event like the Breeders' Cup kind of like flip the switch? And I can't explain it. It's just you've been just. I feel like you don't think you can lose right now.
Hey, you know, I have a ton of confidence right now, and all that goes back to my agent for lining up these mounts. You know, it really does make a difference. The quality of horses that you sit on. It's like everyone says, it's not jockey racing, it's horse racing. You got to have the horse first and foremost. But, I mean, from there you get confidence in yourself and the horse feels that and they sense it. And then you're not thinking throughout a race. You're more so reacting to the situation and you're not getting in your own head and getting in your own way. But I would say the Breeders' Cup definitely motivated me this year. I went in there with a lot of confidence and we didn't do as well as expected and just made me a little more hungry to get back next year and just want to keep building on what we've accomplished and keep moving forward.
You have made exponential progress in your short career so far. You patted yourself after any rider, past or present?
Jerry Bailey, I would say, be the most influential for me. Huge fan of Gary Gomez as well, Chris Antley, but Johnny Velasquez. But I would say jockeys that are riding right now, I watch and talk to Irad a lot. I'm a big fan of his, the way he rides the turf. He's a very aggressive rider, strong finisher, Joel Rosario. I'm able to spend a lot of time with him throughout the year at Saratoga, Kentucky. We share the same corner, so I'm able to learn from these guys and try and pick up some good habits.
What do you think's the thing you need to work on the most?
I got so much.
Certainly not your confidence, you know, I can tell you that. But what's one thing you'd like to improve? As if you when you sit back and watch replays, and I know you do your work, when you sit back and watch replays of yourself, what's the one thing you say on a regular basis or most consistently, I want to fix X? What is X?
Position in a race.
Okay. Very important. Most important. That's probably not for you, but that's the answer you should give. You should always want to keep your position.
Sometimes I have a tendency to fall a little too far back, or sometimes I'll be a little too close, or things will happen. A few steps out of the race, and you wind up in a position you didn't really want to be. And I just got to learn how to be more decisive and, I would say, control the race a little bit more and not let myself be controlled by others.
Wintering in Florida?
Yes, sir.
When you head down, right after Churchill wraps up?
Yeah, we're going to head down Monday the 30th. That morning, we have to test down there that day, so got to get down there as quick as possible.
The opening day on a Wednesday this year, it's a little different.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the riders that are traveling in, we won't be able to start until Saturday.
Okay, so claiming crown will be your first day down at Gulfstream Park. Well, listen, you've been unbelievable the last few weeks. It's been a fantastic year. I've never been happier to be wrong about something in my entire life. Everybody's really happy for you. You do an amazing job, and really a breakthrough year. Congratulations on all the success, and keep it going down at the Florida.
Thank you so much.
Right. Really, Tyler Gaffalione, nice enough to join us this morning here on the Equine Forum. I used to think he was not a good rider. I fully admit I did not think he was a good rider. And while he has gotten unbelievably better, he's probably always been a good rider, and he's. It's good that you know. I think the one thing, and obviously all of these, most of this is life lessons, but position. That was a great answer you gave. I think the thing, and from interacting with trainers and owners and former riders on a regular basis, position. Holding your position in a race. And it sounds like it's common sense, but it's an art that is lost on so many people, it's kind of scary. And the way he put it too, to not allow your ride to be dictated by others, right? You say it, and I'm sure you've been at a racetrack or in your home or in an OTB parlor, huddled around the TV, talking, especially the older fans, right? Well, Cordero rode two horses in that race, or George Velasquez rode the favorite and the winner in that race. You know, what they're basically saying is the other rider was allowed himself to be pushed around, for the lack of a better term, by another rider in the race. And once you get out of that, and I think Tyler has done an amazing job at getting out of that, at getting better at keeping his position and finding his position and not having his ride being dictated by the guy or gal to his left and right, it's only going to make him better. And the fact that he has made these strides and made these steps from, home, like he called it, down in Florida, Gulfstream Park, to Kentucky, and then that Saratoga meet, there are very few riders who have come to Saratoga for the first time and had as much success as him. Again, seventh in the standings, 22 wins. That's a big, big coming out party. For a guy who came up a couple of times the last few years, rode some races, but to actually stay and win as many races as he did. Remember, he won those 22 races and left the final week. He went to ride the Derby. Just a great, great start to his Saratoga legacy. Big start to the year and a big breakthrough year for Tyler Gaffalione, who, like all our guests, will receive some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, Robert Tiller is going to join us. For those of you that don't know, Robert Tiller is the trainer of Woodbine rock star Pink Lloyd, who looks for win number 27 in his career today when he looks to repeat in the Kennedy Road. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Eclipse champion Blame. Ranked among the top stallions of his crop, Blame has sired over 60 stakes horses.
His recent top performers include Grade 1 Arkansas Derby winner Nadal, Graded Stakes winner Blame Debbie, and these Graded Stakes performers. Outstanding value, outstanding results. Blame, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Churchill Downs hosts their 131st fall meet running through Sunday, November 29th. Highlights include the 146th running of the Grade 1 Clark presented by Norton Healthcare on Black Friday, November 27th, and a second Stars of Tomorrow program on Saturday, November 28th, featuring the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club and Grade 2 Goldenrod. In total, the fall meet showcases 10 stakes races, 8 of those graded, offering purses of nearly $1.8 million. Big money, big fields. October 25th to November 29th at Churchill Downs.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they corner in the Kennedy Road, Okratos joins Richie in the house. And on the inside, coming through Extravagant Kid, Pink Lloyd and Reconfigure. Pink Lloyd has got them on the outside. Pink Lloyd back in action in front. Extravagant Kid on the inside. And then Dixie's Gamble. How good is Pink Lloyd? He's the best. Pink Lloyd has won the Kennedy Road Stakes by a length. Second Extravagant Kid. Flying home was Malibu Secret with Dixie's Gamble in the show photo. And then Reconfigure. And the time, 1872.
Miguel are on the call of last year's Kennedy Road. It was all Pink Lloyd. He'd start another win streak. He's on 5. He looks for number 6 this afternoon and number 27 for his career. That's right, 27. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, trainer Robert Tiller, member of the Canadian Hall of Fame since 2008, trains Pink Lloyd, and he's nice enough to join us now as he gets ready to lead him over there for the 32nd time. Robert, thanks for some time this morning on the Equine Forum.
Good morning. How are you?
I don't even know where to start with this horse. Maybe start from the beginning. I feel like, you know, he's a horse 8 years old. We don't know a lot about him. Maybe start from the beginning with him.
Well, you know, he's 8 years old. He didn't race till he was 4, and he's won 26 races and 23 stake races all here at Woodbine in the last 4 years. And he's from Mars. He's just amazing. Amazing, amazing. And he's won them in the hot weather, the cold weather. And he's done some antics in between, breaking through the gate. And, you know, but he's a very, very special animal. And we love him to death. And, you know, I've run out of words about him, too. You know, I don't have any words about him other than he just loves winning. He loves going after horses. He loves winning.
What's it like getting up every day and knowing you're going to go to the barn and he's there waiting for you?
I think it's wonderful, but thank God I got another 40 or 45 to worry about, because I'd be in a stall every day looking at him all the time. So, you know, we're running the racing stable here, and it keeps you very, very busy, as I'm sure you would understand. He's an amazing, you know, he just walk in the barn and look at him, the first thing I do every time I walk in the barn, even when I go out the barn. I go back in the barn. You know, and he's got his head bobbing out, and he's just a happy horse. He loves what he does. Like I said, I'm running out of words for him. He's just amazing. He's amazing, amazing.
And he's a real rock star up there, right? I mean, everybody loves Pink
Yes,
Lloyd.
Yes, everybody loves him. But you know what? I've had letters from as far away as California about him. People do know about him in the States. And, you know, like 25 years ago, I would say he'd have been on the front page of the Toronto Star here. Unfortunately, horse racing's not like it used to be covered by the press. And he's a rock star. He's a superstar. He's an icon.
He really is. I think personally, it's cool. He's never left Woodbine. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've gotten or the attempt has been made to hustle you into some races to get him south of the border. But you guys have stayed true and just kept him at home for his entire career.
Well, I believe he's the best managed horse there ever was in Canada. I'm not going to talk for the USA, but he's the best managed, and that's one of the many reasons he's done so well. He has some quirks that if you started shipping him, you'd be in trouble with him. You know, he loves to kick the stall. He's got his own personalized stall here, all rubberized. He's a hacking horse in the morning. He's not a horse you can just put anybody on. You just can't do that. You just can't put any rider on him. There's a lot of reasons why he hasn't been shipped. But great ownership, and he's been managed properly. And, that's one of the main reasons that he wasn't shipped anywhere. And he's never been Breeders' Cup eligible. It would have took $250,000 U.S. funds to get him to run in the Breeders' Cup. So... we're quite happy. He's earned over $2 million Canadian. We do run here for Canadian money, so he's earned over $2 million. And like I said, who was the last horse to win 23 stakes at Woodbine? I don't think there's ever been one.
And you would know. I don't think a lot of people know a lot about you. Three-time Sovereign Award winner, Canadian Hall of Fame 2008. Yep. Talk a little bit about your career. Brag on yourself a little bit. You've been around a long time.
Yes, I walked in here and I was 16 years old. I've been here for 54 years. I'll be 71 years old December 11th. And I went to junior school and saw an advertisement for Walking Hots at Woodbine. And went there for a summer job when I was 16 and never left. Then I went to University of Woodbine. I like to tell people that. I went to university. I like to tell them I went to University of Woodbine, and they kind of chuckle, Oh, really, did you? I love that story.
54 years. So if anybody would know the history of Woodbine, it would be you. I mean, has there ever been a horse? Or let me put it to you like this.
I'm sorry.
Let me put it to you like this. When you were younger, were there any horses like him around there? Was there a horse that stuck out in your mind?
I've never seen a sprinter like him. And to last this long and to be running at the quality of, with the quality of horses he is at his age. I've never seen one here. And, you very seldom see that. I mean, there's a lot of horses. I'm looking at his form right now, and there's a lot of horses that he raced with his three as a four-year-old that are, if they're still running, they're running for 12, 5, or 20, or whatever, right? And how his form has never gone downhill is just utterly amazing. And we've been able to do that. So, the party's going to end one day, and he'll tell us when it's going to end. He will tell us. And when he don't want to do it anymore, we're certainly not going to run him in any claiming races. We've got this horse is going to have a wonderful home at the retirement center up here, and he'll be a tourist attraction.
What does he do in the winter?
Well, he's at the farm. He goes up to Paul Buttigieg's farm north of here, north of Toronto, about 80 miles. He spent all his winters there, and we get him jogging indoors and at some time in there. Probably in February.
You get up to see him at all in the winter?
Do I see him? Absolutely. Yes, I do. I see him. I keep stay on the phone. I'm up there four or five times during the winter months. We go to see him and the other horses. So he's well looked after, and he always will be, as far as I'm concerned. As long as I'm around, he'll be well looked after. No, he's just amazing. I've won about 2,016 races and I've won over 170 stakes up here, and I've never had a horse like him. He's from Mars. That's all. It's amazing.
What kept him away from the races till four?
Well, he had that's another story. First of all, I brought him in. We brought him in. The funny thing about this horse, I never thought he'd make the races. He got soundered. He got sounder the older he got, to where the point right now he's as sound as he's ever been. We had different issues. He's always had some foot issues. We had a curb in behind that we had to stop him on. He had all kinds of little problems that horses get, and shoulders, you know, so we always had to stop him. Every time we worked him, he'd go down and, you know, he'd just want to chase horses. He'd go down 46 and change. And, you know, you could put a horse in front of him, and he'd just be on the bridle and just wanting to do it all the time. We knew from day one he was a runner, but I never dreamed that he would do this, that he would go and win 26 races and 23 stakes so far, so... but here we are, and he's getting a little long at the tooth, but you sure would know it watching him run.
I was going to say, not too many 8-year-old geldings can go 8 flat like he did in the Vigil last time out.
Yeah, he's, you know, listen, y'all, it's a horse race, and things can happen, and things have happened with him before, where, like I said, where he's had some gate antics. I'm concerned today about his freshness. He's very, very happy and very fresh, but I just hope he behaves. He's got a good post, so he should be in and out. And I hope he behaves at the gate.
He gets one more time today.
There's a couple of very good horses there. A horse called Silent Pole, who I have a lot of respect for. Very, very good horse. He seems done most of his winning on the turf, though. And then Mark Cassie's got a really good horse in there, Ride a Comet. That horse won he won a derby out there in the States.
He won the Del Mar Derby.
He won the Del Mar Derby, you know.
Yeah.
A serious horse and run his first starts. I mean, this is a tough two horses in there, you know. It's going to be a good horse race. And what will be, will be.
We had Mark on earlier today, Robert, and I think he paid you and Pink Lloyd the utmost respect. He said, I have a really good horse running against him. He didn't run for over 2 years. I'm running Ride a Comet against him.
Yep.
But when you take on a horse like Pink Lloyd, you almost feel bad if you beat him. And I think that's the mark of a true... You know, he's still heading over to the starter, so it's hard to say. But, I mean, you know, this horse is a living legend up there right now.
He is, and you know what? It's a horse race, and I know Mark likes his horse. His horse is only a 5-year-old, and they've given him all the time in the world. And, you know, I've got nothing but respect for Mark Casey, the way he's handled himself in his business, the way he's... developed this business, so he knows how to get a hold of good horses and good owners, and he's done a great job. And you know, it's not easy to be all over the place and going 7 days a week, and I've never been in that league, but you know, I have nothing but respect for Mark, and the horse he has in there is a very, very good horse. So if he beats us, he beats us. That's life. We'll wake up tomorrow. We got bigger worries here, you know, the same worries you have in the States. This coronavirus thing is getting out of hand here again. So, you know, I wish everybody stays safe. That's all I can say.
Same for you, my friend. Thank you for some time.
I'm sorry?
Thank you. I said same to you. Thank you for some time this morning. Really, best of luck with him today. No. He's such a cool story.
Everybody stay safe, okay?
You got it. Thanks, Robert. Robert Tiller, trainer of the incomparable, if you will, Pink Lloyd, who looks for win number 27 in his 32nd start today. You can't help, if you are a racing fan, you cannot help but root for a horse like Pink Lloyd. The Kennedy Road goes off right around 5:28 this afternoon up at Woodbine, Grade 2 Kennedy Road. You could listen to our selections. Real shocker. Bobby and I both like Pink Lloyd. Bobby Newman and I have 13 stakes for you. When we wrap up the Equine Forum, head on over to horseracingradio.net. Take a listen to the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts. 13 stakes, 7 today, 6 tomorrow. Lots of action this weekend across the country and, of course, north of the border. They got 5 graded stakes. We're going to get a chance to talk to Mark Cassie about a couple of his 2-year-olds tomorrow. Both in the gray and the Mazarine, but he's got a couple of nice ones, a couple of colts and a filly in particular who look like they can do some damage tomorrow, and who knows, maybe set their sights south of the border and take on some of the top 2-year-olds turning 3 next year on the Derby, Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks Trail. We asked you a question, and The speed's not doing very well on our poll question today. We asked you, would you rather prefer a speed horse or a horse that comes from off the pace? Right now, the closer's drawing away almost 69-31%. We got a couple of responses. Ray Harmon said, I'd rather root for a closer, but I'd rather my money be as on a speed horse. So heart closer, head speed horse. I'm in the same exact way, Ray. Great minds think alike. Willow Creek Farm said, definitely a closer is way more exciting. Will he get there? Will he get there? Yes, that's what you say to yourself when you bet on those deep closers. And Pink Lloyd will be coming from off the pace later on today. Up at Woodbine, Saddler's Joy down here. And, man, you just, those horses like them, they're just they're the funnest horses to root for. And I think the forms are the best. Will he get there? Will she get there? It's that brings out the fan in me more than anything. Still have time to vote. But right now, the closers are drawing away from the speed horses. That's not often what I want from my pocket, but it is often what I want for the fan in me. Speaking of the fan in me, growing up as a kid here in New York, the soundtrack of my life, John Imbrial and Tom Durkin, pretty much here if you were a Naira kid like I've been my whole life. Those are the guys that provided that soundtrack, racetrack. So we're going to take a break, and when we return, John Imbrial, the Naira track announcer, is going to join us. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man. Tough, sound, durable. A stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6 who competed in all three Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home. Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War. Will Take Charge and Final Man. Mucho Macho Man.
Mucho Macho Man has produced two first crop grade one winners, one on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup. He won it by 5 lengths.
And one on turf.
And the California bred Mucho Unusual all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
The number one North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs.
The championship season returns to Gulfstream Park this December. Thoroughbred stakes action returns with the claiming crown, the Fort Lauderdale, the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup, the Fountain of Youth Stakes, the Grade 1 Florida Derby, and much, much more. Stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with the First Bet app, the official app of Gulfstream Park. First Bet offers AI-predicted picks, high-definition live stream races, replays, and live betting from the palm of your hand.
When a horse breathes in during exercise, a strong suction force is exerted on the outer walls of the fragile pulmonary capillaries. Think of it like a vacuum cleaner in the air sacs of the lungs, pulling on the outside walls of the capillaries. This, combined with high blood pressures inside the capillaries, causes the capillaries to rupture, resulting in EIPH. By reducing resistance when breathing in, flare strips turn down the suction on the vacuum cleaner in the lungs to reduce EIPH. See the evidence at flarestrips.com.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And the battle is joined here. Uncle Chuck on the inside and Tiz the Law on the outside. They are heads apart for the lead. Caracaro is in third. Max Player now makes his move on the extreme outside. Country Grammar is down towards the rail. And Tiz the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tiz the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tiz the Law has a 4-length lead. He's left the others behind. It's Tiz the Law. He won the Belmont Stakes. He's going to win the Run Happy Travers. And now it's on to Kentucky as the favorite in the Derby. Here he is, Saratoga's hometown hero, Tiz the Law.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. It was a year of firsts. John Imbrial's first Travers call, Tiz the Law, the New York bred, galloped home, and nice enough to join us now from the booth at the Big A, the voice of the New York Racing Association, John Embriel. John, thanks for some time this morning here on the Equine Forum.
Speak with Big A, not from the Big A, but some of us are not, at the Big A. We're not sure
yet,
where
anyway.
You are. You could do your radio show anywhere.
I can, yeah. Studio in a bag. I love it. Last year, right around this time, we had you on the Equine Forum. You were the industry star of the week. You were getting ready for year number 40 at the New York Racing Association. Is that correct?
Let's see. I started in November of 79. So, yeah, right in the 40 range.
You were wrapping up the 40th year, getting ready for year number 41. Usual, everything was going as planned. You're supposed to call the winter. You were going to have a supersized backup for the winter last year. everything was going according to Hoyle, as they would say. And
right.
About 6 or 7 weeks later, everything changed.
Everything did change, and it's been a great opportunity and a great thrill for me, to be able to be the caller here. I've said it many times. All the people that have, well, not that many. There actually, there's only been 7 or 8 prior callers at the New York Racing Association. But obviously, we know all the big names and what they've accomplished in the past. And so you try to, keep that level. When you're doing it, and sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But getting the big races and the big horses. Obviously, is what makes it. And next year, hopefully, there'll be fans in the buildings as well, and that'll add to the excitement. But Tis the Law really made the year for me. With both the Belmont win and the Travers win, and he didn't end the year the way he wanted it to, but he certainly gave racing fans in New York and across the country a couple of big thrills with those big races.
Yeah, your lead-in is perfect. It takes us to the obvious. 4 months, 3 months into the job, shutdown of racing, miss a bunch of time. Your first Belmont Stakes starts the Triple Crown at 1 1/8. The Travers. What has it all been like to be the voice of a place that, a lot of people did turn to when we got back to racing in June, if the handle is going to tell the story, the handle's been through the roof. You're the voice of one of the biggest distractions to this COVID. What's that been like with all the as unusual as it's been?
There have been some. I guess you want to call them, special moments that I've been lucky enough to be involved in. The very first one was the very first race at Belmont back on June the 3rd, I believe it was, because there had been no other sports, going on in New York, and we were the first ones back. And, so that first race, just getting that done and getting it under my belt and doing it was the step number one in a lot of different ways. And then, it was still kind of surreal, in June, just thinking about the Belmont and just trying to get through, the races. I hadn't called in a while, and, you're just trying to get your bearings again and get your rhythm going. And once the Belmont Stakes had been run, it was like steps, going along. And then, a lot of us, after the Belmont is run, no matter when it's run, we start thinking about Saratoga. Still had a lot of races to do with Belmont, but again, you still think about Saratoga, and certainly I did as well. And Saratoga, from a lot of different people's perspectives, is very challenging. Yours as well, the handicappers as well, everybody involved, because Saratoga is the eyes are on Saratoga every single race of every single day for the 40-day meet. So you tend to put even a little more pressure on yourself. But at the same time, when you add that pressure, you kind of, build up your excitement, in my case, with the race calls. And, yes, you wish the fans were there. But as I've said many times, if you can't just get up excitement-wise to call races at Saratoga, whether there's 30,000 people there or 20 people there, then, you probably shouldn't be doing it. So I just the racing, the horses, the riders, the trainers, the owners, you know, it's all the big names up there. And, you know, we had them again, this year, and there were just a ton of, you know, terrific races to look back on. And again, just a thrill for me and an honor for me.
It's been a while since you've been in that booth too.
I don't think I had called. There may have been one or two in between, but I think the last full day I called was, or the last 2 days I called were the 2 days after Tom retired back in 2014. So that had been a while. And as you know, it's a tricky little booth. You know, you got poles to deal with, you got trees on the backstretch, you got some obstructions and things like that. That's the negative. The positive is, you know, where the booth is located on the lower end in comparison to Aqueduct and Belmont. Boy, you're right on top of the action when they come down for the finish, especially on the main track, and that's, you can almost reach out and touch them, and that makes it special.
You, 40 years at the New York Racing Association, the backup announcer in some capacity for most of that time. What was it like calling the first Belmont? What was it like calling the first Travers?
There were a lot of butterflies. And one of the things I found, I don't know if difficult is the word, but, you know, once you got to the day, it's still a long time till you get to the Belmont, you know,
right,
because of all the races that you run. I was at the point where, you know, I just wanted to get there, you know. And, of course, and I've told you this story before, you know, the only thing I prayed for two things that day. One, that there would be a clean start because of the different distance, the mile and an eighth. It started on the chute on the backstretch, so, you know, you don't have the greatest angle to see if somebody has a little problem at the start. For the most part, I think it was pretty clean. And, you know, I prayed that there would be no sun, because the sun can be very difficult when the horses come to the top of the stretch. And this is the truth. About 5 minutes before the Belmont was run, the sun disappeared. So somebody was looking down on me and looking to help me out for my first, you know, for my first Belmont. So that's what was going through your mind. The interesting thing is that, you know, when it comes to the big races, you kind of know the horses. It's not like, you know, the 2-year-old maiden race where you've never seen the horses. You know, obviously, you know, you may not have seen some of the silks, whatever the case. With the big races, I mean, you know everybody, and you can prep a long time. You know, you're just hoping then that, well, you know, you say the right things, you know, during the course of the race. So it's a little bit of a different approach. But, you know, everybody knows what Tis the Law was looking like, and what the silks were, and most likely where he was even going to be, you know, in both the Belmont and the Travers. And, you know, he kind of held to that and delivered the goods in both of the races. So, you know, I still look back and think of, you know, what a thrill has been to call those two races for the first time.
Did it make it a little more special to have that hometown story as a lifelong New Yorker yourself, having a horse like Tis the Law and the folks at Saratoga and all the good energy that was, especially at that time when he was, you know, looking like the top 3-year-old in the game? Did that add to the experience for you?
Oh, I think so. Yes. You know, we all followed him right from the get-go, you know, as a 2-year-old up there. And, you know the connections, you know, with Funnyside. And then, you know, he was just racing so beautifully. I mean, you know, you just never knew when he was going to take off. And for me, anyway, just looking at him, he kind of did it kind of without effort, you know. And that's why I was kind of a little bit surprised that he got beat in the Derby. But, you know, from a New York standpoint, certainly a great story, especially for Saratoga, and, you know, and that added to it, no doubt about it.
And now the winter comes. The Big A, Aqueduct, a place you are more than familiar with, home away from home, if you will, for the better part of the last 4 decades for you. What was it like walking back into Aqueduct after a full year, essentially, under your belt?
Well, the good thing about it is that here at Aqueduct, you can kind of see the horses on the backstretch at Belmont. You know, we're so far away, as you are well aware, they are a little more than dots out there. So, you know, from an announcing standpoint, this is clearly, you know, the most friendly booth to call from. You have You have no obstructions. The track's a mile and an eighth. You know, you got the two turf courses now, so yeah, you have everything like that. But, you know, Aqueduct in the winter, we've seen it before. How many times you get some nice horses that come out of here and go on to do nice things in the, you know, in the spring and the summer, you know, after, you know, getting their victories here. So Aqueduct's always been okay with me, and I'm familiar with it, and I look forward to it as always, and I look forward to you, you know, getting up here and doing your thing in the booth as well during the winter.
Yeah, you'll be taking some time off. You've been so gracious to help nurse me along, and yeah, we'll be taking some. It'll be an honor to share that booth with you this winter. I can tell you that. Some vacation planned as well. Some well deserved time off.
Yeah, I'll be taking a little couple of little breaks in the winter, get freshened up myself, and you know, be ready to go. Well, you always want to be ready to go no matter what the day is or the time of the year. But you know, everybody needs a little break, and whether that be me, you, or I don't know, you pick the third party, Anthony.
Oh, that'll be Mr. Serling, of course. Could always use a little break.
I thought that's what you'd say. Yes,
from Andy Serling. One more, quote unquote, big day left for the year in New York. I mean, they're all fantastic days, but Cigar Mile Day coming up. Great call with Maximum Security last year. He smoked them in the cigar. Should be a fun renewal this year. Maybe some Breeders' Cup fallout. Monomoy Girl possible. It looks like Jesus's team. Not Jesus's team. King Guillermo's coming, so that should be fun as well.
You know, always a good race. I mean, I wish it didn't start out of that 1 mile shoot, but you can't have everything. They also tend to run it late in the day, so I hope we do have a little sunlight in this case, because the sun's not a factor, impeding the vision when they hit the top of the stretch. You know, whether it be, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, Cigar Mile Day, you know, obviously Belmont Day, Travers Day, there are so many good and fun days to look forward to, you know, over the 12-month schedule. And, you know, that's a good one in early December.
John, thanks for some time this morning. You've only called 5,000 races out of that shooter. I don't think it'll be a problem. Thanks for some time this morning. We'll see you later on in the day.
Thank you, Anthony.
All right. The one and only John Arreale, voice of the New York Racing Association. Yeah, John's the absolute best one. Just a little under 2 years ago when I was Frank Miramati was backing John up in for a little time in the winter. Frank had spent some time here, got me in the booth, and John was more than gracious to. I will never forget it as long as I live. John heard the first call and he said, "Do you want to do this?" And I was like, "Yeah, I want to do this. It's the only thing I've ever wanted to do." And John and Frank have brought it along, and it's been great. And John does an amazing job day in and day out. And I always found it interesting when I was a kid. And again, I've said this a million times as well. You know, John has been around that building my entire life. And those guys, they become the soundtrack of your life. Tom Dirk and John Embriale. Those are the guys that, you know, I heard growing up in the winter before Tom Marshall and Marshall Cassidy was the full-time guy. So those are the guys as you're growing up. And, you know, in later years, there were other guys came through, but when you're a kid, I think that leaves the biggest impression because I kind of knew what I wanted to do when I was 10 years old, and certainly somebody like John was an easy person to want to follow along, a real jack of all trades at the New York Racing Association. When you think back to his career, I wanted to focus with him on the race calling and having his first full year now under his belt at the New York Racing Association as the full-time guy. John's done all sorts of TV production. He used to co-host Talking Horses. He used to co-host The Night Show with Harvey Pack, Inside Track and Thoroughbred Action. I mean, he's literally done it all at the New York Racing Association. And now, after 4 decades of being the backup, it was great to see him in the full-time role. We'll take one more break. We'll come back, and we will wrap the final Equine Forum before Thanksgiving. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
And they're into the stretch with Spun to Run and Cat, the Wonder Catch coming to the gate pole. Spun to Run drifting out with the lead. Blue Chipper on the inside is second. Omaha Beach has made his way up into third, but Spun to Run has run away. Gerard Ortiz and Spun to Run, the real deal of the Dirt Mile. They won it by 3.5 lengths.
Gainesway Stallion spun to run. In the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, he defeated a loaded field that included multiple Grade 1 winners, Omaha Beach and Improbable. His brilliant speed figures were among the fastest of any 3-year-old and a mile or more, while earning multiple triple-digit buyers up to 110 and running a zero on the thoroughgrass 5 times. Spun to Run hails from the legendary Danzig sire line, a multiple graded stakes winner, millionaire, and Breeders' Cup champion. Great milers make great stallions. Spun to Run, standing at Gainesway.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
This is jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back. We wrap things up on this sensational Saturday. Fantastic racing around the country and north of the border today. Thanks to all our guests. Of course, everybody will receive some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. And Thanksgiving, of course, just 5 days away. It's been a very unusual year. And we hope everybody has a very happy, healthy, and safe Thanksgiving. And should spend part of your Thanksgiving, perhaps, when we won't be here on Thanksgiving. You'll hear some programming from earlier this year on the network, but there'll be no race day, no Bridgenet.com call-in show that day. Maybe you want to pass the time. Be sure to read the November 21st issue of Blood Horse Magazine. It features November sales coverage that includes the Monomoy Girl purchase of $9.5 million. Spendthrift Farm bought her, and they put her back in training with her trainer, Brad Cox. There's a special Blood Horse Market Watch with report of mares, bred stats, and yearling sales review. And Kickers provide sellers added value and more. It's another good story in that November 21st issue. Download a copy of the issue now from the Blood Horse Magazine app via the App Store or Google Play. And don't miss their fall special going on right now. 10 weekly issues for only $10. Go to bloodhorse.com/fall20. Great holiday gift as the holidays just around the corner again. 5 days from Thanksgiving. I want to thank you all for tuning in throughout the year, taking part in that call-in show, and being a part of the programming as well. We could not do it without you. This morning, we couldn't do it without a handful of folks. Tom Albertrani, Mark Cassie, Libby Imperio, Tyler Gaffione, Robert Tiller, and John Imbrial. Thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, as well. For everyone here at HRRN, have a happy, healthy, and safe Thanksgiving. Until Wednesday for race day, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. I hope you win all of your photo finishes. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Go Steelers. That's for the Baron. Have a good one, HRN Nation.